Hi there, and welcome to an interview with the amazing Amy, who is going to tell us all about her journey and how she controls her type 1 diabetes. I can't wait to get into this. So, Amy, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask absolutely every guest. Amy, why did you become carnivore?
Well, it's a very long story. And it started with a quest to feel good. So when I was a kid, I was always constipated. I had horrible headaches. I laid around a lot because I was always having a headache. And I had pains from the constipation. And then when I was 15, I got really bad acne. So my mom sent me to a dermatologist, and I was put on tetracycline, a very powerful antibiotic. So powerful that I kind of blame it on the beginnings of being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 16. So I was very sick for that whole year, 15 to 16. And then when I finally was diagnosed, I went through the 2 weeks of losing 15 pounds and being very, very thirsty and peeing all the time. So I was brought to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed me with type 1 diabetes. And the next morning, I went to the hospital for a week to find out how to take shots. And in 1971, because I'm 69 years old, that was 1971. It was a long time ago, 54 years. We were only taking one shot a day, and we only had urine tests, no blood tests, except if you went to the hospital or a clinic. So you never knew what your blood sugar was. We were almost always spilling sugar in the urine. So basically, you were just unhealthy. So let's see. Then fast forward to when I graduated from college, I got really interested in health. It was 1976, and there was a movement in the health genre, I guess. There was a movement in the health genre of vegetarianism and weird healing modalities. So I just started reading books. I read all kinds, Adele Davis. I read Jethro Kloss. I read every health book I could find. And I became convinced that even though they say you can't heal type 1 diabetes, I became convinced that I could, that I would figure it out. And so that began my quest of just trying different diets, different healing modalities, herbs, all kinds of stuff. So I became a vegetarian. Luckily, I wasn't vegan then. I was vegetarian, so I was eating eggs and cheese and an occasional meat, but not much at all, and no red meat. Somehow I thought it was terrible to eat red meat, but, my dad had worked for Swift & Company Meats for years and years and years, and his three daughters all became vegetarian in the 70s because it was part of our rebellion and part of just, the 70s was a time of discovery. So anyway, so that lasted. I had a family, got married, had a family. And that lasted until I started getting really sick. With joint issues. I had frozen shoulders, frozen hips. It's kind of called stiff man disease. So all of my complications were in my skeletal body. I couldn't move fast. I couldn't get down the floor. It would take me a minute to stand up out of a chair. I was just stiff. And I didn't know what it was. I would go to medical libraries and try to look it up because I thought I had some new disease besides type 1 diabetes. And then a friend of mine who was also a type 1 diabetic sent me a magazine with an article by Richard Bernstein all about frozen shoulder. It was a type 1 diabetic magazine. And it's all about frozen shoulder and how it was caused from high blood sugars. And at the end of the article, there was an offer for 2 cassette tapes. I don't remember. Oh, this was 1996. There were an offer for 2 cassette tapes with him explaining his protocol. So I ordered it, and the cassette tapes came. My husband and I listened to them, and I started the low-carb diet and 5 shots a day overnight. And within a couple of months, all my stiffness and joint pain and frozen joints was gone. So that was pretty incredible. So I did the low-carb diet, which for Dr. Bernstein, if you're doing it, it is 6 grams of carbs in the morning at breakfast and 12 at lunch and 12 at supper. So you've got 30 a day, and that was it. And it worked. But after 7 years on that diet, I kind of started thinking about my idea about that I think I should be able to heal, and that this was a good diet, but it wasn't going to heal the type 1 diabetes. So then I heard about this young man who had been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and his mother put him on a raw vegan diet, and he never had to go on insulin. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm starting raw vegan. So I started the raw vegan, and I think the only thing that saved me on that was that I knew to do it low carb. So I still, you know, when you do Dr. Bernstein's diet, he's like, no fruit. So I did the raw vegan diet with no fruit and low carb. So I think that's the only reason I could last for 7 years, but I did. I'm sorry about this. So I did the raw vegan diet for 7 years. I had a company. I sold snacks and dehydrated goodies, and I got really popular. I wrote a book. And then my husband and I, who was also on the raw vegan diet, and some of our friends, they were all starting to have problems with their health. And I started having joint problems. My husband had problems with his teeth, and other people were just being completely malnourished. So that's when we decided to switch to a ketogenic diet. But when we did it, it was 2003. There was a little bit of a gas crunch at the time. So we decided we would eat only local food on this ketogenic diet. So we bought all of our meat and vegetables from local farms, and we're fortunate here in Maine because it's possible to actually do that. So we ate all local food. We did the ketogenic diet, very high fat. I'm still doing it very low carb, no fruit. And that was really great. But once again, it wasn't going to heal me. So I did the keto diet for 8 years. I liked it. It worked really well. But I was still missing that piece of that I wasn't healing. Even though I was able to lower my insulin quite a bit. I lowered it on the raw vegan diet as well. But my husband and I were on a trip. So when you're in the car, you're on a long trip, we're teaching art painting workshops because he was an artist and I helped him. And, you know, what else do you do but listen to YouTube videos? So we started off listening to keto YouTube videos. And at the time, so it's like 2018 in October. And at the time, there were a lot of keto people. I don't really even remember who they were, but we were listening to them. And then this Sean Baker on Joe Rogan popped up, YouTube video. So we listened to that, and then popped up the Jordan Peterson video, and then the Michaela Peterson video. And back then in 2018, that those three videos were the only ones on the internet about the carnivore diet. Besides, there was one of someone criticizing the carnivore diet, but that was it. So my husband says, I'm going to start today. So he did. He started the carnivore diet. I think it was October 20th or something. We're on this long trip. We're going to be home in weeks. And with type 1 diabetes, I didn't know what would happen. So I decided, well, I'll start when we get home. So that was November 12th, 2018. So I've been carnivore ever since. I've had no slips. I've had no backsies. The healing has been slow. And I've probably finally decided that it's probably not possible to, after 54 years, to get completely off of insulin. But I'm on a very low dose and I'm pretty happy. And other things in my life are healing. And I absolutely love the carnivore diet. So I know I talked about my husband. I'll just go ahead and say, so we don't have to jump over that. But he died 2 years ago. So I'm on my own with my carnivore diet. And anyway, that's that.
Yeah. Well, sorry to hear that, obviously, Amy. And that's a fantastic story. And it's very interesting because most people come on and talk about type 2, but you're type 1. And Dr. Richard Bernstein, I think, has helped many, many people. Do you still follow what he does? I mean, he's been living for such a long time with type 1 diabetes.
Right. Yes, I do. I still listen to his videos and watch his videos. He is 89 years old. I think he was diagnosed at 12. So he's had it for, you know, a lot longer than me. And he is still practicing doctor. He's like, still sees patients. And makes YouTube videos. So he's pretty with it. And if anybody wants to say that low carb isn't sustainable, you know, it is. He's a great example of it. And I don't follow his diet, but I think his diet, for the other people that are watching this, because they might be type 1 and maybe they're following Bernstein, but I don't think the carnivore diet disagrees with Dr. Bernstein, because his thing is no more than 30 carbs a day, 30 grams of carbs a day. And I think he's even admitted that the only reason he includes vegetables is he figures they might be important. So, you know,
I think keeping them to such a low level is very sensible. He's got the rule of small numbers, hasn't he? Because it stops the roller coaster of highs and lows of your blood glucose and highs of lows in your dosages of insulin as well. I think it's really interesting. You were saying about, you know, they didn't measure your blood glucose. It was actually the sugar in the urine they were looking at. And that, of course, that's the technical definition of diabetes mellitus, isn't it? Is that sweet urine is what it's all about. I think you're a good testament to trying things as well, because you tried raw vegan for a long time. You tried carnivore for a long time. So people can't say, well, you didn't do it right or you didn't do it for long enough. And I think it's interesting that the carbs, when you reduce them, the shoulder pain went and the hip pain went. Is that something you're completely free of now?
I'm 69 years old. I have no pain anywhere on my body. I never get headaches. I never get joint pain. I'm not on any other medication besides just insulin.
But what happens when you go to your practitioner to get your insulin? Do they ask what you're doing? Is there a bit of pushback from everybody?
That's an interesting question. So, excuse me. For a long time, I completely avoided doctors as much as I possibly could. I got my naturopath to write me a prescription for lifelong syringes. And I actually use the insulin that I can buy at Walmart without a prescription. So I don't have to have a doctor prescribing. Because I used different insulins in the past where I'd have to go back to the doctor every year to get a new prescription, whether I needed to go to the doctor or not. And I was offended by that. So Walmart has this NPH insulin. It's one of the old insulins and regular insulin. And it cost me $25 a vial. And I don't need a prescription. I just go up to the desk and I say, this is what I want. And they give it to me or sell it to me. So I have been going to an endocrinologist for the first time in my life the last year because I wanted to get a CGM. And I hadn't been able to do anything like that before because I didn't have insurance, but now I'm old enough for Medicare, and Medicare will pay most of the CGM. So, yes, in fact, the last time I went to the endocrinologist, they wanted me to know that they would still write the prescriptions for me, but they wanted me to know that they did not agree with the way I was treating my diabetes. So that, yeah. You know, we didn't have an argument or anything, but my CGM showed them that I was having a lot of lows. And I do, but it's mostly because I'm trying to figure out how to get my insulin as low as I can. And when I am still taking insulin, but I go on really long walks and I come back and my blood sugar is low, or for some reason, when I am healing, or we'll say getting better, my nighttime insulin is reduced. And I don't really understand why, but I'm down to only a half of a unit at night. But before I lowered it to a half a unit, I had a lot of lows. So they would be upset with me. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm having to lower my insulin. And that's what you do. You run low, so you know it's time to lower your insulin. So they didn't agree with my technique. And that was okay because they still, you know, they say, you can come here, but so.
Yeah, it's just for those that are listening that maybe don't even know what a CGM is, it's a continual glucose monitor. So there are often people watching that are new to this completely and they don't know the terminology. And
I'm sorry, I could have said, where is it? It's on the back of my arm right here. Yeah.
Yeah. And how long has that been on?
I got it about 9 months ago. So I've been using it for, and it, each sensor lasts for 10 days and it comes on my phone. The answers are it comes on my phone, or I have a little receiver that it'll alert you if you're having a low or a high, and you just press a button and you know your blood sugar. It's a lot easier than testing your blood sugar with, you know, a tester and a meter and all this.
So is this the lowest dosage of insulin you've ever been on then?
Well, right now I take about 12 units altogether the whole day, but I take 5.5 of the long acting. So you have to take two different kinds of insulin. You take a long acting, which is, even if you wanted to fast, you'd have to take this insulin because your liver pumps out glucose. So during the day, my basal is only 5.5 units, and at night right now is a half of a unit. And then I'll take 1 to 2 units for each meal. And so it's up to about 10 to 12 units a day, which is pretty low. I will say that when I was a raw vegan and I was fasting a lot, I would go a day after the fast and not need any insulin, but it wasn't something that would last. And the problem with the raw vegan diet is fluctuating blood sugars. They would just go up and down and up and down. It was very hard to control. But on the carnivore diet, it's definitely the lowest I've been able to get my insulin down.
Yeah, and also, like you say, it's not going up and down. It's not roller coaster. It's, it's more steady, which is the thing that is damaging for people, where it goes up in a spike and then, you know, you need a lot of insulin all of a sudden. And I think it's very fair of you to sort of talk about the raw vegan side of things, But what about when you were doing that? Was your skin okay? Was your hair okay? Did you feel fine and vital, or what?
I felt really good for the first several years. I did. I felt really good. I had no problems. It was only in the last year that I started getting, like, on a walk, my hips would start hurting. And my, you know, I'd have all kind of pains. And my knees always hurt when I'd go up and down the stairs. And I just thought, so I don't know, it was in my 50s. I thought, oh, I'm just getting old. So I thought it was just normal, you know. But as soon as I went keto and started eating red meat, all that pain went away rather quickly. I mean, it was so immediate. And the first time I tasted red meat, because of all the vegetarian and other stuff, I hadn't had red meat in 35 years when I started keto in 2010. So the first time I put red meat in my mouth, I thought, I mean, I heard the angels sing. It was amazing. And it was really true. It was like this all over nourishment that I had never felt in my entire life. And I was buying local meat too. I'm not now, but at the time I was buying only local meat, and I thought it was so pure, and I was just so into it. And I felt so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's quite common. And that whole story is quite common, because a lot of people go vegan and it's like a honeymoon period. And then the health fails after about 12, months, sometimes normally about 3 years, because things like your vitamin B12 stores up for many years. You've got lots and lots of storage of all those things, but eventually it runs out, doesn't it? So that was really interesting. I liked you talking about Sean Baker and Joe Rogan. That's a very influential podcast, by the way. Now, look, you've started, you mentioned briefly your social media, but you also done some coaching as well, haven't you? So could you tell us a little bit about that, because you're helping other people with diabetes, aren't you?
Right. Yes. So I've started this group coaching. I mean, I do individual coaching if somebody really wants it, but I've started this group coaching. It's been the most successful. So it's by the month, and I have a few people, and we just get together on Zoom once a week for the whole, you know, once a week throughout the month. And then we also get each other's phone numbers, and we do texting throughout the month. And that's been great, because we can, like, I can recommend a YouTube video, or, you know, they can ask me questions, and pretty much any day, any time of the day, I'll answer them, and they answer each other, and they help each other. And it's been really awesome. So, you know, it's cheap. It's like a charge, $25. So pretty much anybody could afford it. And we have a really good time with each other. And there's been remarkable, you know, I have two women on there right now that had owned, they were LADA, LADA, Latent Autoimmune Diabetes of the Adults. Never can remember that, but I did. That's what it is. So it's also called type 1.5. And their doctors had only put them on the long acting insulin. They didn't even take insulin for meals. So I was able to help them with that. And I start every meeting with, like, I'm not a doctor and I cannot give you doses, but I can tell you what I do or most diabetics do. So, you know, it's been great. And I've really enjoyed the coaching. So we just do, you know, it's at the beginning of every month, people join up, and then we have a group, and it's great.
Yeah, it's remarkable the amount of misinformation out there even now. I mean, you're going, when you went back to 1971 and you couldn't have your blood glucose tested, I can remember when I did my studies, doctors don't want people to have that information in their hands. They don't want you to know your own blood glucose. And of course, it became very popular and affordable. And then, you know, you've even mentioned the continual glucose monitors, which are life-changing. They don't really want you to wear that. And they certainly don't want you to research and do your own thing when it comes to health, even if you're thriving. And I can't believe that there's still people out there that don't understand what insulin does and what carbohydrates do and how you need to dose, because it's all out there. So I think you're doing well to do the coaching. I'm trying to spread the word. We all are in the carnivore community. So I wonder, you know, you've been doing this a long time. Has carnivore surprised you? What's your feelings about this diet? Because you didn't know about it for so many years and then suddenly you found out about it.
Well, I did not expect my floaters to go away. I had floaters in my eyes and they went away. They were really bad. I could barely see because they were just floating around in my vision. They went away after about 6 months. I'm trying to think of the other things because there's so many things. Oh, I was having these headaches every morning at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I would wake up with a headache and it would last the rest of the night. And then as soon as I got up, it was gone. And I couldn't figure out what it was, but on carnivore, they went away. So I have, you know, I grew up on headaches. I never had headaches ever anymore. Even I used to get like really traumatic headaches from low blood sugars. I don't even get that. So that's been amazing. I know there's so many things. I sleep all the way through the night on my back. I never move. And when I was keto, and especially when I was raw vegan, I could not get comfortable. I would lay on my side for a few, you know, an hour, and then I'd toss and I'd turn and I'd try to get comfortable again. And then my hip would hurt and then my back would hurt. And now on carnivore, I just, you know, when it's time to go to sleep, I put a meditation on, put my head on the pillow, and I'm out. And I sleep all night and I don't move. I sleep on my back with my hands folded over my chest and don't move the entire night unless my dog wants to get in bed with me. I have to help him up. And I might pat him every now and then to know that he's a good boy. But yeah, my sleep has improved dramatically. No aches and pains. My blood sugars are much better, even though my thing is alarming right now. It's just a little bit high. I was able to drop insulin. I'm trying to think if anything really surprised me. I am surprised that I am 69 years old and I'm walking seven or eight miles every day and I'm able to do everything I want to do and I'm living alone and I can pretty much take care of myself. I started a YouTube channel also. It's called Brisket Boomers. And I started it because some of my friends who are my age and older, well, I have to tell you a story. So this is my friend that I knew when my husband was alive. And we were good friends. And we thought a few minutes about maybe having a relationship. And he finally tells me, I'm too old to have a girlfriend. He's 77. He said, I'm too old to have a girlfriend. And he was worried because he had a TIA. And this guy, he's a very nice guy. Or TIA is like a small stroke. And it was very small. And he didn't even know he had it. So, but he was worried about his health. But he was also afraid to do anything that his doctor wouldn't agree with. So he eats a really high carbohydrate diet. He thinks he's eating a really good diet and won't even listen to me about carnivore. So I decided to start this YouTube channel called Brisket Boomers for people who are baby boomers and beyond who might have questions about the carnivore diet. So I've done my most popular video has been the one that's called Carnivore and Dementia. And when you get to be a certain age, you know, I'll be 70 this year in just a couple of months. When you get to be a certain age, that's one of your worries. You know, nobody wants dementia. That's worse than getting cancer. You know, at least there's a treatment. Or possibly that's what my husband died of. And so, you know, hopefully the carnivore diet is a treatment for cancer along with a whole lot of other things. We don't need to get into that. But I do believe I'm kind of putting all my faith in the carnivore diet, the high fat carnivore diet, to prevent dementia. And I, you know, I can't say that it has, but we'll see. You know, your brain loves fat, and it's nourished by cholesterol and fat, and that's why we don't want to go on a statin.
Yeah, and I think it's really sad, isn't it, that people are scared to live their life because of what a doctor said, even though there's people out there that are prime examples of eating this way and are showing you that actually it is healthy and it can reverse diabetes or make type 1 really easier to manage. It can get rid of joint pain. It can make your memory improve, your cognitive function improve. It's quite sad, really, that people just still believe somebody in a white coat. Amy, that was fabulous. That was really good. As you know, I like to do like a 30-minute interview, so I think we've sort of done about 30 minutes. Is there a time for me to ask you a couple of practical questions about what you eat, whether you're OMAD or TOMAD, or do you fast, those sort of things? So what's your eating regime?
Usually, I eat 3 meals a day. I will skip a meal if my blood sugar is too high. I skip a meal and take a little insulin and wait. But usually, maybe 80% of the time, I'm eating 3 meals a day. I eat eggs and bacon for breakfast. I've got a chuck roast in the oven, so I'll eat a nice meal of chuck roast with all the fat poured all over it. And then for supper, I might have a small burger and some more bacon or some beef fat trimming. So that's basically it. Oh, and I do have this amazing butter that I get from a local farm. And I do eat butter, too. And then every now and then, I think I'm going to go on the lion diet and I'll try that for a while. But I don't know if I'm going to do that again. That's actually the lion. You had asked me before. The lion diet was the lowest I got my insulin. I did the lion diet in 2020 for 3 months, and I got my insulin down to just 6 units. That's like half of what I take now. But I missed my other food and I couldn't stick with it. And I kept trying to convince myself to stick with it, but I basically couldn't. So maybe another time.
Yeah. And that's important. You've got to live your life, haven't you? You've got to enjoy it. And you're doing pretty well without restricting it further down to the lion diet. But you also proved the concept because you halved your medications. And for some people, that's the be-all and end-all. But I think you've got to get that right balance between, you know, good health, but also enjoying your life. I don't think, you know, if you're enjoying bacon and you're missing it, or you like fish or whatever and you're missing it, then you make that informed decision. But anyway, Amy, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it. So just to confirm on your coaching then, Amy, is it just type 1s?
No, actually, I have type 2s, I have type 1.5, and I have type 1. So it's been great. And we all figure out like a common interest of getting ourselves as insulin sensitive as we possibly can. So,
yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people that are type 1 always complain that most people talk about type 2, and it's only because 90% of diabetics are type 2, but there's a lot of type 1. But you can share each other's knowledge because it's still coming down to insulin control and blood glucose control and eating the right way and avoiding refined carbohydrates, definitely. But I feel avoiding all carbohydrates just makes life really easy. That sounds like a fun group. So I'll put a link in the description so people can check that out. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Your support means the absolute world to me. And if you're enjoying the show, I've got a small favour to ask you. I'd be incredibly grateful if you would consider becoming a supporter and make a small monthly donation. Your contribution will really help to improve the show. I'll be able to improve the software, maybe put a few more episodes out, and do many things that I'm hoping to do in the future. Do them a lot quicker. So it's a small monthly contribution. You can cancel at any time, and the link is in the show notes. Thanks very much for listening.